Alton Brown is one of the Food Network television personalities. He's the host and the main commentator of Iron Chef America. He is a James Beard Award winner, which is the most coveted award in the culinary world. He is not only a chef, he is a cinematographer, he is an actor, he's an author of several books on cookery. He brings this knowledge and enthusiasm for science of cooking, the science of cooking. And he has a rather humorous approach to his shows. He has a show that's called Good Eats. A few months ago, he was interviewed on NPR. And I happened to be listening that day, and I tucked this away in my mind until this weekend. He was being interviewed by Scott Simon on Weekend Edition. And this was the weekend of Memorial Day when everybody was focused on getting into grilling for the weekend. And so kind of related but unrelated, Scott Simon says to him, "So when you sit down at the table, you say grace before a meal." And I quote, "I do, yeah. I say grace. I'm a big believer in grace. I happen to believe in God, a God who made all the food, and so I'm pretty grateful for that, and I thank him for that. But I'm also thankful for the people who put the food on the table, the people who grew the food, the people who got the food to me. I think being grateful, being thankful, makes the food taste better, actually. And it's something we should take time to do. I do." Saying grace before a meal might just make the food taste better, because it reminds us not only about what we are about to receive, and we utter those Catholic prayers, "God bless us, the Lord, and these I guess we're about to receive." So it doesn't necessarily make the food taste better. It usually makes the food a little colder. But if we truly stop to think about the food, where it comes from, who grew it, all those people who worked in the fields, all that helped to bring it to market, all that helped to bring it and prepare it, whether it's at home or in a restaurant, it does make us stop and think just a little bit. We can do that a little bit when we're in our homes. You know, there is actually a place in our home that is sacred, that's holy. It's called the table. We might call it the family table. We might just call it the table. It might be a formal dining room table in its own room. It might be a crowded kitchen table. It might be a table that we sit around with our family. It might be a table we sit at alone. But it's the table that brings the experience of God's greatest blessings, whether we acknowledge it or not, with a grace before meal. The gift of life itself comes from the table. What we receive from that table gives life to our bodies. And if we are at all aware It's the gifts of the earth that sustain this life. Think about it, the table. The table around which we gather is a level playing field. In our households, we all have a place at the table. Everyone matters. Everyone's joys are celebrated. Everyone's problems, everyone's hurts are taken on by other members of the household. At the table around which we gather, we are welcomed. No matter what we've done or how the others in the household feel about us. The table around which we gather is the place where decisions are made, where problems are confronted, where lessons are learned, where stories are told, where we realize from where we came, where we somehow get a glimpse of where we're going. Several years ago, my mother decided she was going to start dispersing some of the items of her life. I guess she thought she was going to die, but she's still going. And going and going at 91. But a few years ago, she gave several things away, and she asked me what I wanted. And it was probably a strange request because she said, "I don't know what we're going to do with these dishes that were your grandmother's. You know, your sister doesn't want them, and all your brothers have wives that don't cook." And they're about 65 years old at this point, these dishes, and I said, "I want them." And I wanted them not because I'm so much into it. Reminded me so much of all of those moments around the table growing up. And we use those dishes for all of the special events of our lives. And they only came out at special events because they were the good china. And I have to tell the most embarrassing story of all. I don't have to, but I will. A few years ago, when the San Diego fires were going, I packed up all those dishes and I put them in my car. Because of what happened around the table and because of what those dishes represented to me. And you know, they're in a cupboard at my house, and I look at them, and I wash them every once in a while, and every once in a while I pull one out, and I use it. But it was at the table that, you know, I learned about forgiveness, and compassion, and kindness, and most of all, gratitude. And I think it was at that table that I also somehow made a connection to the table here. And that connection that even led me to know what my future might be by standing at a table every Sunday with a community who come to dine, to express gratitude, to say grace before the meal. And then to receive what Jesus talks about in the gospel today as the bread of life. You know, he's just come from this experience that we heard about last Sunday in the feeding of the multitude. And all these 5,000 people were fed with food, but they became hungry again. And in the meantime, Jesus and his disciples have moved off, and they're following because this is like the welcome wagon. And we're going to get a meal if we find him. And Jesus says, you're not getting it, folks. It's not about just food that's going to pass away. It's not just about the food that Moses, it wasn't Moses that fed you. It was my heavenly Father who fed you manna in the desert and sustained you through difficult times. I am the bread of life. I am the food that will never leave you hungry. I am the drink that will never leave you thirsty. And so Jesus talks about himself being food and drink. And it's more than just what happens at our tables at the house, in our households, and whether we sit at that table with others or whether we sit there by ourselves, which I do now. I sit in my home and I eat by myself, and yet I have memory. And I'm never alone. Because it's at that table that I realize that it's not only am I being fed physically well, but it's at that table that I also realize that God feeds me. I connect to this table, and this table connects me to that table. There has got to be that relationship. Otherwise, neither makes sense. We need places like our dinner tables to break and to share such bread and to be grateful, to say grace, to be reminded again and again not only where the food comes from, but who is the author of the food that we are about to receive and the food that lasts into eternity. This table is the ultimate dining table. It's from here that we learn that our homes are places where the love and the life of God dwells for all of us. But conversely, our tables at home make sense of the table here, whereupon we celebrate the banquet of Christ, the bread of life. Both here and at home, these tables, this altar table, and our tables at home are places of welcome and forgiveness and unconditional love for family and friends. Places of grace, the spoken kind and the unspoken kind. So who knows? Maybe Alton has something to the fact that by saying grace, it just might make things taste better. And by our grace here, and by the grace of God, the food and drink we receive just tastes better to eternal life.